Power Hub Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium. Where is Dolores House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder, and it was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we know where we're going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
That's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Terra Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org.
Listen to Darker Side of the Moon, Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast
that deals with the paranormal. Parapod, with new guests every week, from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that capture.
We go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights. Actually four, counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing. And it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/ Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/ CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now.
That could only be the sound of the flesh column.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. And that means one thing, that we're being joined by our illustrious friend and one of our favorite guests here on Ghostly Talk, Mr. Dave Brocky, owner of Sharungus of Guar. And I, before we get into discussing everything with Dave, over when we were on break here, we got to talking for a few minutes. And we've talked about on the show here, Doug, about how weird things sometimes work out when we have guests on the show. How these coincidences...
It is true.
Okay, this is one of the kings of them, I think, is coming up right now. Because, well, Dave, I'll just let you hash this one out. Where are you at presently right now, Dave?
I'm in Washington, D.C., here, our nation's proud capital, getting ready to attend the inauguration. Got very lucky, and a good friend of mine, because of the large amount of cash that was owed to him by a certain governmental figure that will remain nameless, we got two tickets, the type that apparently they're the golden tickets of the political world. Only 2,000 of them were printed, and they're the ones you had to, like, lobby your congressman for, and then win the lottery, I suppose. But because of a massive drug debt, we have some, and we're here on the streets of the nation's capital. I just got to town here a couple hours ago, and I can tell you guys that this city is in a state of mayhem.
Really? What are you seeing there? You're the on-site correspondent. What's going on down there as far as mayhem's concerned?
Well, Beyonce finished her set, and I think U2 is coming up soon. They're not playing any of their songs. They're all playing, more like uplifting kind of classic numbers from American history. But I'm so far away from the stage, all I can hear is kind of a dull roar. And there was an orange speck that someone told me was Beyonce. Judging from the fact that I could see her butt from over a half mile away, it was Beyonce.
So you believe it? Yes, yes.
Well, go ahead.
That's interesting because Washington D.C. and UFO. So I want you to do two things while you're there. Well, three things, because you have to attend the inauguration, and that's just going to be an insane, awesomely cool event. I mean, very historic.
Interesting.
But, so that of course is going to be top of the list. But then also keep your eyes open for ghosts, because Washington D.C. is like notoriously haunted. Mm-hmm. They have stories on every street corner of, you know, going back from when it was founded to modern times. And then also now, keep your eye on the sky as well, Dave, because we were just talking to Robert Stanley about UFOs over the Capitol, and he posited that perhaps such a historic occasion may draw them.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we've already had a sighting here tonight, guys. There was a confirmed UFO sighting. Some kind of glowing craft appeared in the sky above the Lincoln Memorial, the Lincoln Monument, kind of lowered itself down to the stage, but it turned out to be a false alarm. It was just U2's helicopter.
Oh, well, I'm glad they figured that one out.
For a second there, Dave, I thought, my God, this show is going to be the creepiest thing we've ever done.
think it is.
Well, David,
well, you couldn't be more correct about this town's spooky past. Actually, I grew up here, just outside of D.C., but my brother did have a apartment over on Capitol Hill, and you know, this town is just, you know, full of spooky stories. I mean, I always just was pretty fascinated with Abraham Lincoln getting his head blown off. And just from the very first days when I was a little kid coming into the city, one of the first things that you're confronted with is the Washington Monument. And if there is a more sinister-looking monument out there, show it to me, because that stark, white, phallic pinnacle of horror is really, it looks nothing more like a gigantic Klansman with little red glowing eyes. If you ever see the Washington Monument, it's got these two blinking red eyes on each side of the pyramid face, and it's really sinister and scary looking.
When they activate it, we all should duck. Absolutely, because it does, it looks kind of like a big robotic.
Well, Dave, I'm sure, you know, talking about Washington and stuff, I'm sure you've seen, it's all over the web, and, you know, I don't know how they could lie about this, but if you've ever seen an aerial view of this area, of Washington, D.C., we've seen these things. There's actual, like, the way it was architected and all this crazy stuff. There's been, you know, the actual look of a pentagram in the middle of it. Are you familiar with this, Dave?
Sure, LaFont, the French guy that designed the city, he purposely designed it after the European model of the way cities were laid out, and it's designed in a grid, but it has lots of circles, big European traffic circles, and these crazy cross streets that go at all angles, and the reason it was made that way, well, besides all kinds of rumors of Masonic conspiracy, is it actually was laid out that way for the simple reason that it would get invading armies lost. And as someone who's lived up in this area for many years, I can tell you just as a motorist that it works very well.
I agree. The only thing I could ever, when I was traveling there for work and back, if I could find the George Washington Parkway, usually I could get back to my hotel, but sometimes even that would fail me. And other than that, that's about the only thing that I remember about traveling, because I try to block it out of my mind.
When you say George, it's just one more syllable, and you've got Georgetown, and that brings up one of the scariest places that in this town that's burned into everyone's consciousness. Anyone who's ever seen the movie The Exorcist, these steps. The very famous steps from The Exorcist are right there on M Street to this day. And I don't know if anyone's fallen down them recently, but if you do, you probably will break your neck. I don't know if that was really Reagan or not.
Well, that stairway is huge, first of all. It's concrete.
Wasn't it funny? Wasn't it funny? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, it's all right, go ahead.
It just occurred to me, and since we're just kind of vibing off this thing, and one thing is suggesting another, wasn't it funny that the little girl in the Exorcist, her name was Reagan, correct?
Yeah.
And then later on, wouldn't a similar monster named Reagan Washington?
another weird thing that we discover tonight on the show. It's been really, really creepy like that, and there's another thing we can put on the wall. Check that off, too.
It was prophetic, and we didn't even know it.
Well, no, that stairway, though, it is very, it's huge, it's concrete, and I think you're right, Dave. If you fell down that thing, I think you would break your neck. There's no question about
that. Whether you got thrown out of the window by some demon or not, you're going to hurt yourself pretty bad.
It blows me away. Well, you said you grew up in, I didn't know that, but you said you grew up in that area, right, Dave?
Yeah. I went to school in Northern Virginia, Robinson High School, Rams, go Rams. And I spent a lot of my youth coming into the city because my brother had an apartment here on Capitol Hill. And, you know, right around then, it was, you know, the punk rock thing was just getting kind of started, or at least the American hardcore thing was just getting started. Mm-hmm. Bands like Minor Threat and Black Flag.
Yep.
Had only been around a couple of years, and DC had one of the best punk scenes around, you know, the whole Discord thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Of course, Henry from Black Flag, Henry Rollins comes from here, so it's a proud tradition, and I came up here, and I didn't really get along with those guys too much there. My spirit was a little bit too crazy for the kind of the more hampering confines of the straight edge mentality. So I fled south to Richmond. Mm-hmm. But anyone who knows me knows that I'm a D.C. native at heart, and my fanatical support of the Redskins, you know, has really reached epic proportions. So they do probably, the Redskins probably do have the most blatantly offensive name of any sports team in the United States.
Absolutely.
You're right, they do. I never thought about that too much.
It's freaking horrible. It's bad enough that Dan Snyder is our owner, and he hangs out with Tom Cruise. I mean, when you see Tom Cruise wandering around on the sideline, you know your team has got problems. But yeah, I really believe that there was a curse that a lot of Native American groups have sued the Redskins over the years. But the NFL has got this strange caveat on its business, and it's like short of a Supreme Court decision, their policy cannot be changed except by the NFL owners actually voting in majority. And so the Redskins have really skillfully deflected any criticism of the fact that the name Redskins comes from the days when fur traders would say, hey, I got bear skins, I got beaver skins, I got red skins, and that would come from the scalps that they took from the Indians they slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really not a good thing. That's not something that Native Americans really think is too cool.
Well,
and honestly, I don't think it is either. And I wish they would get on with it and trade the name. Because honestly, I think the Redskins will always suffer in mediocrity until, you know, first of all, they get rid of the name, and second of all, he stops kind of hanging out with Tom Cruise.
When it comes to football, there's nobody that's suffering from, well, that isn't even mediocrity, I don't think. Here in our hometown, Dave.
We have a curse,
Zion.
Too.
Yeah, we have the record. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was there, actually. I was, once again, the synchronicity of the evening is apparent, because I was in Detroit for the show, of course, a few months ago.
Yeah.
And we actually had an opportunity to go down to Ford Field and see Redskins play the Lions. And that's when I knew the Redskins were going to have a tough year, when we had trouble beating the Lions. That was good.
Well, you know, we did have the ghostly talking Detroit Lions scrimmage game.
Oh, yeah. We owned them. We owned them, Dave. It was over.
I injured the quarterback.
Yeah, Bonnie.
She steered him down, and he just fell.
We made Bonnie the nose tackle, and she owned everybody on that field. It was awesome. So
it was bad.
So yeah, I think you know, even though we don't have a very offensive name, I think we're taking over the throne for not even mediocrity, but just complete failure.
There must be a king of the. The
we have the record. We have
king of the,
we
king of the jungle.
Yeah.
Issues.
King of the jungle.
Got,
horrible. So okay, you just mentioned this a second ago, Dave. You guys just got off tour also. And how long were you guys on tour for this time when you went out?
That was ridiculous. The tour we did last fall, the Electile Dysfunction Tour, was 3.5 months. It was the longest single tour that we've ever done. And like, unlike most bands, when they, you know, get a little further on years and like, you know, start playing less and less shows, I think we are playing more than ever. And, it's all part of our bloody offensive to, subjugate the world to our will, and you know, we're not going to stop until it's severed by our all as masters of this world. And, you know, you got to play, you know, 12-month tours. That's what we'll have to do. But last year was a very busy one. It was, you know, a lot of bands come out, they do a few records, they have a brief kind of burnout career, and then they're gone. And like, it's different for us. It's like we've been at it now for almost 25 years, and every year it's got a little bit better. And so I don't know if that means we got to do it for another 25 before we finally get the band where we ultimately want it, but if that's what we got to do, you know, that's fine with us.
Well, one thing I have to mention, because we never really got a chance to talk too much afterwards, is that you invited myself, you invited a group of us, four of us down to Louisville, Kentucky for the last date of the Sounds of the Underground Tour. If you remember this, Dave, at Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Oh, I remember it. Wow. We never talked about this since then, really?
I don't think we've.
I know.
Have you been on the
air?
No,
we haven't.
I don't think so.
I haven't been on the air since then.
I don't think so, no. But first thing I wanted to throw out with that was, I can't thank you enough. That was probably, when I tell that story to people, it usually lasts for about 45 minutes to an hour of all just the crazy stuff that happened that day.
Yeah,
that was really, really amazing.
Yeah, well,
it was absolutely the creepiest place I've ever been, and wow, yeah, that was amazing. I had no idea really what we were in for.
Yeah.
Still think about that, and not really sure about a lot of the stuff that happened that day.
Well, we it was a long day.
Hot day.
It was a very hot day. It was an injuring day. Bonnie twisted her ankle. My girlfriend dropped out from heat exhaustion. It was a rough day, but we got through it, though, and I just wanted to, you know, if anything, just thank you for having us down there and you know, getting us into the show. It was really nice of you to do that, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was scarier, you know, what was all the weird ghosts floating around in the old tuberculosis asylum, or the show itself and the fans that were there.
Oh, it was insane.
Oh, it was.
It was completely insane. The thing was, Dave, this one thing I'll throw, when before you guys went on, we came around the other side of the stage and we were in front of the barrier on the side just watching the show, right? And we met a few people, you know, earlier in the day when we were waiting to get through the gates and stuff like that. And I mean, these people were getting irate with us because they saw us and they're like, hey, get me over the barrier. And we're like, well, look, we don't have that kind of power here. You know, we're very happy to be where we're at. And, you know, just we don't want to upset the natural balance of what's going on here. Let's enjoy the show together. And these people were screaming at us and yelling at us and throwing stuff at us from over the barrier. At least me, I was getting screamed at by people, and I'm like, hey, dude, chill out, man. I don't run the show, okay? You know, just leave us alone. So it was, you know, the heat and then just the, you know, basically a 12-hour day of music. I mean, people were just going off. And I tell you something that happened that day, too. I mean, like I said, Amber got really sick.
Mm-hmm.
We actually... Officer Anderson.
Yes.
There was a Louisville cop there who was the most helpful guy I've met ever. I've been to Louisville several times. The heat got so bad they had to bring out buses to the hill. They were air conditioned to put people in there because they were dropping out from hot heat exhaustion all day long. It was chaos, Dave. It was a crazy day, like you said.
Yeah, it was really poorly organized, and apparently, you know, the tickets they made were really cheap, so people got a hold of the tickets. And then they just started basically making scans of them and then printing out as many copies as they wanted on their home printer. So,
oh my God.
You know, there were thousands of people that were just getting into that show that weren't even supposed to be there. People were just coming through the woods. You know, there was no security. There was no toilets. There was no place to buy water. There was, you know, there was nothing. And
yeah,
it was just horrible. And somehow, we, you know, on top of doing a huge tour of the Death Factory, you know, we actually had to do a GWAR show, and I remember it as being one of the better GWAR shows of the tour. It was definitely one of the craziest ones, but
that was wild.
That which does not kill us makes us stronger, and it was a great day.
Yeah,
in many ways. So
it was a
rough day. I don't think they're going to be having any more metal festivals at the Tuberculosis Museum.
Well, from what I don't know. By no means do I have all the facts on that, and I won't claim to. But yeah, there was a bit of a fallout because we keep in contact with people down there, of course. And there was, as you could tell, Dave, around that whole area where these beautiful homes, there's a golf course there, for God's sake. Owner, and there was,
they
people,
weren't very happy.
They were not happy at all. There were people parking on people's front yards. We nearly got into a fight with the parking guy where we parked at because he blocked my car in where I couldn't get out. And we ended up going back and forth with him. So it was chaos all around. But
yeah, it was horrible.
It's all about the story at the end of the day, so I don't care. I want to have a good story. I want to have a good story to tell people. So yeah, you guys basically were out for 3 months. You said we got a couple minutes here, you were out there like you always are. Is there? I mean, and we might have to take this through the break or something like that. But let's. I mean, was there some things that you saw this time? Because I know that when you toured Europe, you came and we talked about the catacombs in France and stuff like that. Did you come across?
No, I went to all kinds of creepy spots in Europe. You know, ever since I had my kind of ghostly interlude a few years ago, I've been, you know, trying to make contact with the spirit world. You know, and throughout all my journeys, I go to all kinds of crazy places, and I swear I just haven't had any luck so far. And this tour was no exception.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, even I don't know if you're getting ready for the break because I can tend to be pretty long-winded about this, but I have.
It's okay.
Actually, I've gotten all the way back to my host's house here in D.C., and as a matter of fact, this is going to freak you out, but tonight, live, on this show, I am going to enter a room in this house that is supposedly haunted. That is correct. This house my friend moved into has got a basement, and in 1933, the guy who lived here killed his entire family and then blew his head off at the bottom of these stairs that I'm looking at right now, and I'm going to go down them.
You're doing that right now, Dave.
I think.
I am here right now. I kid you not. I did not even know about this until I got here.
Mm-hmm.
I get to my friend's house, and we start talking about the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's crazy. You're on this paranormal show because supposedly our basement is haunted. And I've stayed at my friend's house here 100 times, and he has never told me this. But, man, he's like my best friend. And like he told me, yeah, it's true. There was this real famous murder here in the neighborhood. This guy wiped out his entire family and in the basement of this building. And apparently there's still, I've never been down there, but apparently there is a large stain on the floor from where the blood pooled it in this giant puddle and then slowly slid across the floor. And that was almost 100 years ago. It's still very obvious.
Oh, this sounds so Amityville-esque. Okay, we have. Let's do the break real quick, and then after the
break.
Yeah,
why don't we do that?
We'll go downstairs. We'll do it virtually.
God, this is so dramatic. I love it.
But Dave Dockin is going to do it really.
I'm getting no goosebumps over here.
And we're gonna see what happens. See if he sees the stain. If he feels the vibe. So this is all going to happen live. After this break, because wow, this is going to be like live.
I'm speechless right now. This is so
I'm going into the haunted basement here in the nation's capital. Dave Brocky, your reporter on the spot here at the inauguration in the nation's capital. I'm going to descend into the haunted basement.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Hang on, Dave. We're going to break.
All right, buddy.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures,
new
planetary
world
mind control,
strange rituals,
military cover up,
corporate shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control,
unidentified flying objects,
presidential
assassination,
unidentified flying objects, presidential assassination,
pyramid,
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 fascist,
illuminated,
fascist,
out there. Bizarre. Out there. Out there.
Out there.
Out there.
Out there.
Out there.
It's a
strange world. Visit outthereradio.net. Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
All right.
Are we back?
I think this is the most dramatic ghostly talk has ever been, Dave.
Yes, it is.
I got a great intro for your program. You want to hear it?
Go ahead.
Hey, we're back to Ghostly Talk, sponsored by Joey's Ectoplasm Cleaners. You barf it, we scarf it.
You know, I'll clip that.
We got that on tape.
I'll clip that. We'll use that thing. I can isolate that thing. We're talking with Dave Brocky. Order as drunk as a guar, and what we're going to do right now, Dave, are you set? Are you queued up? Are you on the edge of the stairway?
I am ready. I'm here in, what's the address here?
we don't want to give the address out, Dave.
No.
We need a creepy name for the place.
Yeah, we don't want no address, Dave.
Okay, we're not going to give it an address, but yeah, we will say that it is I'm on Irving Street in the Mount Pleasant, neighborhood of Washington, D.C., I'm standing here at the top of a set of stairs that leads into a basement where in 1933, a disgruntled man, and I spent a good time Googling this thing, but I couldn't find much, a disgruntled young man murdered his wife, his two young daughters, and then himself against a wall, which is at the very bottom of these stairs. Now, as I descend these stairs into this reputed to-be-haunted basement, I am also keeping a close eye on the Ravens-Pittsburgh playoff game. Oh, it's actually halftime right now, so we don't have to talk about that.
Good. Multitasking.
Okay, good. So, of course, this is going to sound stupid, but the lights don't work. So I've got a flashlight, and here I go.
Okay, yeah, I think a torch would have been better than a flashlight.
Yeah, that's
okay. A torch.
So Dave is going down the stairs now as we speak.
Okay, and now I'm actually on the stairs.
All right. Okay, you're on the stairs.
And they're squeaking a little. And I'm looking down. There is... Okay, all right. Wow, okay, I'm at the bottom of the stairs now, and you're not going to believe what I'm looking at.
Okay.
There is a wall here. It's a very kind of dank and awful basement. Are you guys still getting me? Is my cell phone getting out of here?
Yeah, no, you're fine. We can hear you fine.
Okay, right. There is, and I absolutely am not kidding, and I'm going to see if I can send you guys a picture of this. There is a large stain up against the wall here that stretches. It's like a puddle about 8 feet wide, and then there's like just a big smear that goes across the room down to the lower center of the room. And it's just like an off-color stain, but I think that's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge blood stain of four dead bodies pumping out their final juices.
So it does fit
I'm standing
stain.
Right in the middle of it right now, so...
Ooh. Oh, my God.
I'm looking around the room. I'm poking the light into all the... There's nothing attacking me. I don't see any ghostly apparitions. And, I'd have to say right off the bat, though, it's creepy as hell down here. I don't think it's haunted at the present time.
Okay. And we can live with that.
Okay, I'm getting out of here, though, okay?
I don't blame you. Escape back up to safety.
Well, you know what?
Okay.
Hey, you know what?
I'm sorry, that wasn't as dramatic as I'd hoped.
No, you know what you did. You went down, you investigated, you found that, you know, what they said, there's a stain, and it looks like it could be, you know, blood drip from the murder, and you went down, you verified that. That's a very
Now, I want to point this out. I need to point something out also for the listening people out there.
We didn't really plan any of this.
We had no clue.
This is what we were banging our heads against the wall right now, Dave. Is when we went on a break of a few minutes ago. Doug and I were talking about this, and I'm like, God, this is just a really weird night because you know all these things are just like kind of coming together back and forth, you know. And I'm not going to like run to the Inquirer, but it's a really peculiar night, you know. But I don't even know how to explain it.
Oh my God,
Dave, you all right?
The Ravens just scored. I'm horrible. I
Dave, I love you. I swear to God, I love you.
Our eyes got like 10 times wider than they normally are.
Oh, my God. Then, all right. Woo. So, Dave.
The Ravens.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. That was fun. Okay, the Ravens really didn't score. Okay. I didn't have fun.
You, when we were on break, I'm breaking a sweat here, for God's sake.
I know.
I'm perfectly fine.
When we were on break, you mentioned that there was one place that when you guys were on tour here, you just got home, that you did hit that you wanted to mention. And what was this place? What was this?
Well, I'm always, ever since I got haunted by the weird floating skeletal woman.
Yeah.
I never asked my friend, the guy who moved into the house after me, if he ever saw anything about that. But, you know, ever since that happened, and I've never really had any paranormal experiences in my life. Well, one time a long time ago. I'll maybe save that for next episode. But, you know, I go to a lot of crazy places when I'm on tour, and I'm always poking around for weird things to do and weird places, you know, to go. And I go to a lot of, the American cities are so filled with weird crumbling edifices from other times that in a lot of cities, these buildings are very energy efficient and just, you know, cumbersome and bulky and inefficient. And so they get abandoned and people build more, you know, eco-friendly or energy efficient structures, and a lot of these places get forgotten. And then a whole new generation of urban explorers breaks into these places and kind of turns them into everything from, you know, places where the local kids get together to smoke some weed to, you know, places where, you know, hippie geeks practice their trade. And, you know, and this place, we were in Corpus Christi, and I was waiting before the show, you know, for hours to play, and this guy told me about this place that was right around the corner, the old Corpus Christi City Hall. And what this building is, it was built, started to be built in like 1850 and grew, because back then the whole area was very lawless. There was lots of banditos coming up from Mexico and, you know, just lots of outlaws and all kinds of people with guns and lots of murder and lawlessness. And so they built this gigantic fortress-like city hall that had a jail into it, so you could go in there and, you know, sit in jail and then have your trial and then be thrown into prison all in the same building. Mm-hmm. And it actually also had a execution chamber, had a gallows. And all that was housed in this one gigantic building. And the weirdest part about it is, like, the prison was located in the very top floor, and then it had, like, this giant, like, void built underneath it. There was like a 20-foot gap between it and the floor underneath it to give like security and so you couldn't hear the prisoners screaming up there. Mm-hmm. And there is the guy who was telling me all this stuff was like, yeah, this is you know, we looked it up on Wikipedia and Googled it and stuff and found out a lot about this place. And after the show was over, he took me over there, my good buddy Billy, and we broke into this place and spent a good 3 hours checking this place out. And, you know, though I can't say that I had any concrete visitations, I can tell you it was an incredibly eerie, spooky experience. This place was had a tremendous vibe on it, and we couldn't actually get to the execution room. There is like a gangway that goes up to it, and then you run into a big brick wall. And they said that there's a window right there, and the window is still there to this day. And that was the last window that the condemned man could look out before he was marched into the gallows chamber.
Yeah.
And the local legend was, if you walked, if you start looked into the window, turned your back on it, and then walked away from it, if you turned around quickly, you could see the face of the last condemned man that had stared into the window.
Oh.
So that was just too much for me to resist. We went up there and we found the window, and even though it was very, they blocked off the gate, the gangway, so you couldn't get more than a few steps, you know. But I did the steps and I spun around and I looked in there, and the only thing looking back at me was my own face, which was kind of disturbing in a weird way. But you know, I didn't see a ghost. It was still freaky, and especially that one last second before I looked into the window, I was like, you know, what am I about to look at here in a second? And you know, at that moment, I knew that I truly did believe, because I was honestly scared.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the power of a legend there too. That it'll bring those things up in you when you're, you know, I've done those also. We've done legend things like
we
that.
We went on Morrow Road.
And
Morrow
we
Road.
Freaked Scott out and, a couple times.
I
freaked out.
You're
also.
Lucky we weren't with you. Bonnie would have.
Although actually,
away.
He could have made me do it instead.
Well,
of
Well, that's
do
true.
It.
We would make Bonnie do it
mm-hmm.
instead of let any of us do it first, because we want to know if she's going to freak out
mm-hmm.
and go running screaming first.
That is the power of a legend, though. Now, one thing I know we have in our notes here, and I'm dying to talk about this, anyways. you mentioned, Dave, that you know. You wanted to talk about these ghost hunter shows, you know, the shows on TV, and we've been talking about these a bit.
You get to see them, you know, on tour. You're in hotel rooms and all that kind of stuff, and what do you do for the hours? You can flick out. Now you can flick out almost any channel and see a ghost hunter show.
Yeah, and this was mentioned here. You know, basically, I'm going to get the floor to you on this. That's all I have here. So, I mean, we've been talking about this a bit lately here on the show, and you know, we've had our opinions on this too. It'd be interesting to hear what you think about, you know, a lot of these shows that are coming out, Dave.
Well, I guess the first thing I would have to say is that they're really stupid. it's just like they're so bad. I mean, sure. I mean, I have no doubt that like a lot of these places they go to probably do have paranormal issues. But you know, if I was a ghost, I would run away from those people. You know, I wouldn't do anything to like expose myself to such a bunch of bottom feeders. I mean. It just seems to me like the heightened sense of just like, oh, well, what's that over there? You know, and it's just like, it's so cheesy. And then they cut to the commercial and they come back and they're like, well, that was just someone turning the TV on in the other room. But it's just, I mean, they all play out the same to me, and I've never seen anything really on any of them that has distinguished any one of them from the general bulk of them, which, and they all seem to be pretty crappy.
Well,
so if I'm missing something here, and there is a good one amongst them that is, you know, actually worth watching, I would be interested in that. But they really, I think they kind of, in a weird way, they kind of hurt the paranormal movement as far as acceptance, because they're, as far as like making, you know, people who are on the borderline of believing or not, I think they kind of might hurt that, because they're presented in such a kind of ridiculous manner, and it's just. Anyone who I've ever sat with and watched one of these shows, you know, people are laughing at the people in the shows, and they don't believe it for a second, and that's what I think kind of sucks about them.
Well, Dave, we do the same thing, and we're trenched in this field like, you know, like a tick trenches into your skin, I guess. I mean, we're there working with this stuff every day, and. It's interesting to hear this from someone, you know, someone with more of an objective viewpoint. I mean, it's obvious you have an interest in this stuff. We've talked about tons of stuff on the show with you here, but I find it interesting that, you know, somebody who's kind of on the outside of this stuff will come and say the exact same thing that the people within the field who have an issue with the shows say too. And the number one point there is, I think, simply these shows really are kind of hilarious in a way, and. You know, does this really give the paranormal stuff any credibility? You follow what I'm saying?
Well, it's just, I think, and it's really kind of funny the way this whole show has kind of gone, riffed off each other, because before this show, I was thinking about stuff that we could talk about, and that was the first thing that came to mind, was just like, you know, I don't want to, like, bust these guys' chops, but I feel like I almost have to say something about how crappy these shows are. And it's very refreshing to hear that we're of a similar mind on if these shows weren't good, you guys would be hosting them, you know? And it's just like, I don't know where they get these people, but God, they suck. I mean, especially when they bring out these weird, like professors or whatever, some weak English dude who's running around in the yard screaming, holding two iron rods to the sky, and then he starts humping the ground, and then some other woman runs up and goes, yes, this is it, this is where it happened, and it's just like some new age mystic is writhing around in the dust, and probably the most annoying one is the one about the kids that supposedly all have paranormal abilities, and they have to go to this special ranch. And it's so obvious these kids are all children of rich people who are simply indulging their children's fantasies. And they're just making up crap, and they're surrounded by adults going, oh, yes, oh, look, she drew a drawing of a kitty cat. It's obviously a haunted kitty cat. The girl that lived here had a cat.
I mean, really, have I mentioned that I love you recently?
The haunted kitty, I mean, it's awful. Those kids should just be locked in a room with Jason for the night.
hilarity aside, which it's definitely called for.
There's a lot of points.
It's definitely called for. Dave, you're preaching to the choir, man. I gotta say it. You're preaching to the choir here.
There are indeed.
Yeah,
it's so bad. That one with the kids is so horrible. They're a bunch of Hollywood brats, you know, and they're sitting there doodling with their crayons and like, oh my, they're looking at crystals and lighting incense and farting loudly and nauseating to the extreme. It's like these children ordering around all these adults, you know. It's just like, please.
Yeah, it's true. At what point? Obviously, that one crossed the line, but at what point? Where can you draw a line and say, you know what, this is hurting? This is actually hurting.
What?
And
look, since this year started. Go ahead, Dave.
Everyone's got to have their own opinion about it. I think, you know, people who let something like that chase them away, you know, they're obviously not very strong-willed about it anyway. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's really hurting, but let's say that it's certainly not helping.
Well, the point that I always put out to people now, Dave, is that, you know, whenever it comes up, like one of us here sitting in this studio right now, if we're in a conversation, we're in a party or something like that, and, you know, the paranormal comes up, which it usually does, right? And everybody, well, of course, people that know us, the fingers go right to us. Oh, you want to talk to these guys, right? And, you know, years ago, I was like, yeah, let's talk it over. Let's talk some ideas. Let's riff on this thing. This is cool. But nowadays, unfortunately, with a lot of this media and all these shows that are out there, the first question that I get, you know, the questions used to be like, have you seen anything? What do you think it is? You know, do you think there's life after death? I mean, just cool questions like that, which are, you know, that's a long conversation in and of itself. But the questions come down to now of, so, you know, so do you guys do it like those guys do it on that TV show? And not the 3-hour conversation then of you, or it isn't a conversation, it's me going, no, and here's all the reasons why, okay? So it makes it really difficult nowadays to really have an educated conversation on this stuff anymore, it seems like. And what's that, Dave?
Your foundation.
Yeah, it's, you know, and right. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, what we're doing in this field, it's... We lost our butts a long time ago doing this radio show. We do it because we like to do it. We like to learn. We like to talk to people. But it's very difficult now to really get past the whole Hollywood thing that's sprung up again. But now it's not Hollywood itself. It's reality TV, and that's really beating down a lot on the field, I think. And your observations, I think, are 150% spot on. That's just my opinion, though. Hello, Dave. We lost Dave.
We might have lost him in the fray.
Well, his phone was getting kind of weird.
It was breaking up a little bit. But, you know, I think I know he has a point in that.
Let's see. It's not on the line right now. Go ahead and talk.
Oh.
If you can. Try.
Well, I can't concentrate with
the phone. Do it, Doug. Do it!
But he has several points. And I
Dave, sorry. We lost you, dude.
He's Yeah, my looks like my cell phone's about to run out of juice here, and I don't have my charger. So I didn't want you guys to think the ghost from the cellar had come up to claim my eternal soul.
Let's do that. Let's thank the ghost in the cellar for not claiming your eternal soul. But,
yeah.
And thank you so much,
yeah,
Dave,
we'll let you go, Dave. If your phone's going to die, we don't want you to die in the middle of the thing. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
So thank
cool.
you so much for all of that.
Tonight was a blast. I had a great time. It was a wonderful conversation. It's a huge year for GWAR. Let me just put in the shameless self-pluggery.
Please, let's do it. No, we didn't get a chance to.
Huge year for GWAR. We're going to be releasing a lot of new material. We're right in the middle of working on our new record. We have, this year, starting about halfway through the year, is the 25th anniversary of GWAR.
I was
going to
say
wow.
that. 25 years.
Good job. Excellent.
Yeah, so we are going to have the celebration begins a little later this year when the new record comes out, I believe in July, then it'll be a huge, we're playing, kicking the whole thing off with an appearance at the Wacken Heavy Metal Festival in Europe,
yes.
in Germany, which is
legendary.
I think
oh, crap.
Awesome.
And I think that was probably the end of
oh, crap.
The cell
Dave.
Signal. Yep.
Uh-oh.
Well, so but anyway, I know that all the information that he was talking about is going to be available at...
Yeah, well, let's help Dave out here with this, because, yeah, that was one thing we didn't really touch on too much, is that GWAR is going to be celebrating their 25th anniversary.
Amazing.
And, yeah, we want... 25 years. I remember when this band started.
Yeah,
that's how old I am now. But I was there. I mean, I'm lucky enough to be one of the people when they're, you know, when they first broke out and started doing their thing.
And they're doing the hard work even still. They're touring.
Yeah,
They're going to these places. They're still putting out the music and the
they're still
show
well, what Dave,
the,
like
the
Dave
performance.
Said, and
it's amazing.
It's kind of mimicking. It's kind of funny mimicking because you know Dave said something earlier about you know about GWAR. He's like you know a lot of bands slow down as they get older,
yeah.
and we're speeding up. And I see, yeah. You know, it's something similar. I think that happens with Ghostly Talk too, because it seems like, especially judging by this year, you know, it seems like we'd slow down a bit. Go, you know, okay, we've been doing this 7 years, my God, you know, enough, you know, how much more can we do this stuff? But it
right.
seems like we're really starting to pick up. I've been feeling this, and I'm really excited about it. That this show is picking up a lot of steam this year too. There's a lot of things I think that need to be addressed this year. You know, and it isn't all going to be about complaining about paranormal shows, but. Well, that's there too. Sorry, it's the elephant in the room that needs to be discussed, you know. And Dave mm-hmm. touched on it, I think, ever so eloquently, right? And that's a person who is completely, you know, he isn't involved with this. He plays in
right.
golf.
He's a busy person.
And for him to come out here, when he sent me these notes,
I didn't need
to see any bullet points under that thing. I said. Okay, because he put it in quotes, first of all, and that only means death when it comes from Dave Brody.
Yeah.
So I knew that.
I wonder how he thought. He said it was the first thing he thought about.
Yeah.
Was talking about the Ghost Hunter shows on TV.
Yeah.
And yet I wonder if he did the thing like, well.
Well, now I run. Well, no,
they
he said
know
he,
them. They, you know, it,
so
it,
what?
Is it going to be, you know?
Yeah. Well, now,
but no. Here on Ghostly Talk, I know we talk about everything in our private lives.
Now the irony is that we had this dramatic thing we did, which was all in good fun.
Oh, that was so fun!
But
he
the
did
thing
find
is,
the bloodstain.
Yeah, he
or,
found
or
the bloodstain,
stain
but,
that may have
but it
been
really kind of mimics this whole. Maybe it was an artistic expression on all of our parts to go. You know, because we did get into this conversation about the paranormal shows for a few minutes, and it kind of is a bit of an artistic, satirical expression of a lot of these shows do.
Well, he didn't.
Now. And I don't think it was meant to be that way, but when you think about it, it's kind of like.
Yeah, but the only shocker moment was when the Ravens scored, but they didn't really, but, you know.
What's
just,
the shocker?
Because
well, you know,
he didn't add. He described what was down there.
Yeah.
He said, this is really interesting, it fits with the thing. And then he goes back upstairs, and that's when we got the shocker moment, which is really cool. And
we had fun.
But we didn't, as far as the investigation went, which it was just a one-minute investigation,
just,
run downstairs and
but
see
But Dave was checking
thing.
It out. No.
And he checked it out, he reported back, came back up, and then came the fun.
Yeah, so basically, well, Dave came in,
like
Dave left the show kind of like he comes in always. Bye! He comes flying in here, and he kind of just, you know, he just flies out. So, no, awesome. Can't thank Dave enough. 25
thank
years,
you, Dave.
GWAR.
Congratulations, GWAR.
GWAR.net. Go to their website, buy all their records, do all that stuff, because it's coming from me. I've been listening to this band the last 25 years of my life. you know, since I was a little teenager.
And they're still going strong.
They're still going strong. They're awesome. And thank Dave's such a great guy to us always. And he always comes out here and hangs out. So, all right, I can go on all day long about how awesome Dave is. I'm going to shut my hole.
Wear your Ghostly Talk t-shirt to Guar Concert.
I did.
Yes, you did.
She did. She was wearing a Ghostly Talk shirt. Awesome. We have proof of that. She was standing next to Dave with her shirt on.
And we have to thank Robert Stanley for starting off the evening with the UFOs over
Capitol Hill.
And so www.guar.net, of course, for Dave Brocky and Odorous Youngus and all of Guar. www.unicus magazine, UNICUS magazine.com, for Robert Stanley and this intense amount of UFO research that he has.
We're going to bring Robert Dalby on, too. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Go.
And then
shut my mouth, Scott.
Robert Stanley will be back on.
No, Robert Dalby.
I know, but we're going to bring Robert Stanley back.
We're
going to
bring Robert Stanley back on.
Another topic that he researched because he's...
These guys didn't change their names. I'm confused right now.
And then, yes, Robert Dalby, we were going to talk about...
We're going to bring him back on. It was like we said before when we were talking about this the second half an hour. We're gonna get frustrated here, and we're gonna find out. And it was a technical
that it
thing.
It was a thing, and it was a thing.
Like we said, so I'm not apologizing for what I said.
No, me either. I want people to respect us, just like we show respect to other people.
Exactly.
And in this case, that it was nothing like that. Of course, as I thought, it was just simple technical issues, and we know we've had our share. So. Robert Dalby, we're
going to get him back on.
We'll talk about the Ouija board, which is something that people seem scared of. Yeah. I don't understand it myself. But we'll find out when.
Heck of a show tonight, guys. I'm really
awesome show.
Even with all the glitches the couple of glitches we had. I hope you guys enjoyed it because I know there's a lot to learn.
Yes, and thank you everybody for listening. Remember, our website is www.ghostlytalk.com, and I am Doug.
I am Scott L.
And I. And Bonnie.
We'll see you next week.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.